It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Thursday morning to you. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today on this Thursday, the 10th day of August. If you're living in parts of the South, you're already busy this morning because you're getting the kids off to school. If you're living in the North and other areas of the country where you're still enjoying those last couple of weeks of summer holidays, eh? Well, a busy day for all and a busy day in the news today. We're going to get to the very latest this morning out of North Korea, with the leader there ramping up his threats, particularly against the American territory of Guam, and releasing a plan, apparently, that they have for the next missile test. We're going to get to that in just a second. And also, in relation to North Korea, Pastor Robert Jeffers, First Baptist Dallas, and host of the program here at AFR, Pathway to Victory, is also a Fox News contributor. Well, my goodness. Yesterday, he voiced support for President Trump's statements about raining fire against North Korea. And Pastor Jeffers is, I tell you what, a lot of folks responding to what he had to say about President Trump having the biblical authority to take out the leader of North Korea. We're going to hear a little bit of that debate in just a second. But first, about 24 hours ago, you heard the story of the latest terrorist attack in Paris. A guy in a BMW in a suburb of Paris yesterday morning, he saw these six soldiers coming out for the day to start the patrol. He drove his BMW into those soldiers. Thankfully, none of those soldiers died in that attack. Authorities eventually caught up with him, arrested him after a shootout with him on a freeway north of Paris. But this morning the news is they've identified the guy as a 37-year-old Algerian man who is living legally in France. His name is Hamou Benlatrek. He's from the Bizones area north of Paris, an area known for many, many Muslims. Should we be surprised? Coming from Algeria, we have to assume that he is a Muslim. We have to assume, based on the modus operandi of that attack, it's all part of the terrorist attacks that have occurred in Paris. Of course, the mainstream media not identifying him as Islamic. But here's one thing for sure. Since the beginning of 2015, 230 people have died in France as a result of Islamic terrorist attacks. When is the left, when are the liberals going to learn that the real problem here is Islamic terrorism driven by the beliefs of that religion and following their leader, Mohammed? But it's very interesting, not mentioning at all yet this morning, that this could be connected to Islamic terrorism. I said to some folks yesterday, for sure, you know, the attacker wouldn't be Amish, probably not a Baptist or a Methodist, probably not a Jewish man. Pretty safe bet given what the history of terrorism on this planet has been over the last 10 or 20 years, that it's going to be Islamic. But still there seems to be this sanitization of the mainstream media and others about calling it Islamic terrorism. Call it what it is. There's other kinds of dangers, of course, in the world. North Korea today, this morning, outlining a plan to launch missiles toward Guam. They announced a detailed plan to launch a volley of ballistic missiles toward the U.S. Pacific territory. which of course is a major military hub. About 7,000 of our U.S. military personnel are there. The island altogether has about 160,000 people. The announcement made in the name of a general who heads North Korea's rocket command warned the North is preparing to plan to fire four of its Haesong-12 missiles over Japan and into waters around the tiny island. It said the plan could be finalized within a week or so and would then go to leader Kim Jong-un for approval. It would be up to Kim whether the move is actually carried out. It said the missiles would hit waters 30 to 40 kilometers away from the island. It's unclear whether North Korea would risk firing those missiles so close to U.S. territory. But here's one thing for sure. This war of words is going to continue. And there is the real potential, knowing the character of this North Korean leader, that he will carry out those threats. Now, let's just say for a moment he actually does this, launches missiles that would land about 19 to 25 miles away from Guam. What would be the response of the United States to that? Well, President Trump yesterday, in the last 48 hours actually, warning Kim Jong-un that he will see the raining down fire and fury from the United States, the likes of which the world has not seen before. Now, of course, about anything President Trump says is going to come under criticism these days. And he's received lots of criticism, including from Senator John McCain, who said that the president needs to be guarded, shouldn't be saying these kinds of things. However, the president has received support from, among others, Pastor Robert Jeffress, as I was mentioning. Pastor Robert Jeffress, and he's been on Fox News already this morning in a kind of debate with a Catholic priest over this, because what Robert Jeffress said, folks, was that President Trump has biblical authority to use force against North Korea up to and including assassination of the North Korean leader. So I want you to listen to what Pastor Jeffress had to say this morning, using the book of Romans to justify his stance that the president, President Trump, has the right to go to war, to assassinate, if necessary, the leader of North Korea. Pastor Jeffress, listen carefully as he outlines his Bible-based response to those comments.
There is a great deal of confusion among Christians when it comes to this idea of using force to topple evil. And I wanted to clarify that I believe the Bible, especially Romans 13, does give President Trump moral authority to use whatever force necessary, including assassination or even war, to topple an evil dictator like Kim Jong-un. And I believe the Bible is very clear about that. And while President Trump prefers a diplomatic solution to this problem, he's been talking about diplomacy for 19 years with North Korea. Mm-hmm. He's also willing to do whatever it takes to keep America safe. And one thing I know about President Trump after being around him for the last 2 years is this. Unlike his predecessor, when President Donald Trump draws a red line, he's not going to erase it, move away from it, or back down from it. Okay. And we ought to thank God every day we have a courageous leader like President Trump in the White House.
Okay, Pastor Jeffress, you cited Romans 13, but when you look at Romans 12, as you know, it is do not repay evil for evil. And so some would say that flies in the face of the argument you just made.
Well, look, Steve, Paul wasn't schizophrenic. He knew what he was writing. In Romans 12, he was talking about our interpersonal relationships. Okay. We are to forgive. We are to turn the other cheek. Romans 13, the next chapter, deals with government, and the Bible never commands government to turn the other cheek or to forgive.
All right, that's Pastor Robert Jeffress this morning on Fox and Friends, talking there with Peter Doocy. Now, also on that panel this morning was a Roman Catholic priest, Jonathan Morris, who, as you're going to hear, takes issue with the idea that the Bible supports this kind of action. So let's listen to the to-ing and fro-ing that takes place between this priest, Jonathan Morris, who's also a contributor to Fox News. The host is Steve Doocy here. And then Pastor Jeffress responds to what Jonathan Morris has to say. So let's listen to this exchange.
All right, Father Jonathan, what do you think?
Well, I think anytime you take, first of all, I should say that I agree with so many things that Pastor Jeffress says on other issues. For sure, we agree on many things. But as soon as you take one particular biblical passage and you use that as a justification for a very particular and complex political policy, and especially a military policy, I think you're making a big mistake. When Solomon asked God for wisdom, it's because political leaders and kings need wisdom, and things aren't so simple. And what President Trump needs is real wisdom and advice, and not a suggestion that he is justified in doing whatever he wants just because he has been given civil authority. And it's very, very dangerous, in my opinion, to tell him or to tell any religious, any political leader, because you have the authority, doesn't somehow means that you don't have the obligation to be very wise and to be very prudent in your decisions. War is always a total failure of the human family. It doesn't mean that sometimes violence is not necessary to stop evil.
Okay.
But as soon as you say you're justified in doing whatever you want, I think we've made a big mistake.
All right, Pastor, I think you've got a counterpoint.
Well, I do. I do think that President Trump is seeking God's wisdom on this. I have found him in the last 2 years to be a very measured leader. And I have great respect for my friend, Father Jonathan. But I have to say this. I am glad that Americans did not listen to Christian pacifists during the Second World War when Adolf Hitler was marching toward world domination, or today would all be speaking German and saying Heil Hitler. I mean, the fact is, war is never preferable. It's never the first preference. But sometimes you have to stand up and confront evil to defeat evil.
Hey, I think this president understands that.
Ooh, that was an interesting exchange this morning between those two gentlemen. But as you heard there, Pastor Jeffress certainly not backing down, saying God has given Trump authority to take out Kim Jong-un by whatever needed as possible. And I thought the explanation from Pastor Jeffress is pretty simple. In one case, we're talking about the authority of the state, of the leader of a state, to use the sword to protect the people of that state. I don't think anybody can argue that Kim Jong-un is a threat to the United States. Come on, listen to what he has said in recent weeks. He's testing missiles that even our own military people believe can now reach the continental United States. And now you have the statements coming out of North Korea this morning, detailed plans for the next missile tests where the missiles would land within 19 to 25 miles of Guam, a U.S. territory. Now, that's not saying he's going to do it, but the fact that he's releasing these detailed plans that he would send four of these missiles into that area very close to the shores of Guam. That is an undeniable threat to the United States if he carries that out. Now, yes, they would fall short. But then, as you heard Pastor Jeffress says, this authority to use this kind of force by the state government, Paul, in the earlier chapter, where he's talking about turn the other cheek, has to deal with our interpersonal relationships. There's a whole lot of difference between those two. And I thought Pastor Jeffress' response was excellent. Thank God that our leaders in World War II did not stand back, because the loss of life would have been a whole lot more. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning, Fred Jackson sitting in. Much more ahead on this Thursday morning. We'll be right back.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here, and I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
And I woke up one morning and I told myself that if nobody told me that they loved me that day, then I was just going to kill myself.
It's Truth for Youth Bible Week.
That day at school, a girl that I didn't know came rushing over to my locker and she handed me a Truth for Youth Bible and she said, "Hey, Jesus loves you. You should read this."
This week, we're partnering with Revival Fires International to give away thousands of Truth for Youth Bibles. You can have one if you promise to pass it on to a student that you suspect doesn't know Christ. Parents, order a free Truth for Youth Bible for your teen to give to a friend. Or teens, you can order a Bible for a friend. Visit revivalfires.com or call 800-733-4737 between 8 and 4:30 Central Time. That's 800-733-4737.
And there was a page in Truth for Youth that showed me how to give my heart to Jesus. I just prayed and Jesus forgave me of my sins.
Let's take the message of the gospel to America's youth.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
So last night I'm watching cable news, and they were literally freaking out over President Trump's tough talk with the North Koreans. I mean, they were in a near panic, hyperventilating. Here's Brian Williams of MSNBC.
Our job tonight actually is to scare people to death on this subject.
Now, one reporter over at CNN actually suggested the people in Hawaii should hide in caves.
A lot of people on this island believe that if they're hit with a nuclear warhead, that everyone is going to die.
So what's going on here? And why is the media trying to cause a panic in the streets? Well, it seems that not only did President Trump put the fear of the Almighty in Kim Jong-un, but he also scared the living daylights out of the media. Here's what President Trump was trying to convey, folks. You don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't backtalk your mama, and you don't talk smack about the United States of America. I'm Todd Stearns.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
All right, we are back to Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred Jackson sitting in, just always enjoy listening to Todd Stearns. Talking common sense as we try to do each day here at American Family Radio. Well, by the way, just wanted to mention the stories that we've been talking about already this morning with regards to identifying the suspect in that terrorist attack in Paris. You can find that on onenewsnow.com. The latest on North Korea, the threat, ramping up the threat against Guam in particular, outlining a detailed plan now for a missile test where missiles would land within 19 to 25 miles of Guam. You'll find that story on One News Now this morning, too. Go there and get more details. There's another story that we've been covering now for several years, American Family News Service, and that has to do with some controversy over the building of a mosque in Bernards Township in New Jersey. Now, there have been a number of these kinds of stories. There was a lot of controversy over the building of a mosque in Tennessee, not far from Nashville, I believe, back a few years ago. But this story has been cooking for 4 or 5 years now. because the council there, the township, I guess the planning board, initially refused the building of the mosque because it contravenes some regulations that they have, particularly to deal with parking. That was one of the issues. So they voted 6-0. But then there was a court case, township being sued. And the Barack Obama Department of Justice got involved. Imagine that. In this very local dispute, Department of Justice under Barack Obama got involved. And the case went before, guess what, a Barack Obama-appointed federal judge. And they came down on Barnard's Township. Jake Holmes is with the Thomas More Law Center, and he joins us right now. Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Good, Fred. Thank you for having me on.
Good to have you. Now, you have entered into this case because tell us a little bit about what happened with that judgment from the federal judge. What happened to the folks at Barnard's Township and where we are right now with the efforts of the Islamic Society of Basking Ridge to build this mosque?
Sure, and you did a really good job of recapping how we got here, but I want to briefly add a little more detail because
sure.
it'll fill your listeners in on really what the issue is here. This mosque, they chose a particular place in that township, and they wanted to build the mosque in a residential area. And of course, you know, the people in that area were a little concerned, but it's also significant, and it might be subtle, and it's not something that's really come out a lot in the press, but people were concerned that first of all, they wanted to put this mosque, which is way too big for the piece of land that they put it on, and people actually approached the mosque and said, "Look, we're not opposed to having you in this town, but there are other places," and they actually suggested some other places that would be more appropriate, larger pieces of land. But the mosque absolutely insisted that it had to be right here, and they weren't going to do it anywhere else. Well, that piece of land is significant because, first of all, it's in a residential area, but secondly, the township, it's on a church, a historical street called Church Street, and they wanted to be right there, and the township actually has two 9/11 memorials. One is directly across the street from that mosque, with the proposed building site for the mosque, and then about 200 feet down the road is another 9/11 memorial in a public park, because that township lost 17 of their members in the World Trade Center attack. It's very close to New York City, and 17 people died. So they put up a 9/11 memorial down the street. And here's this mosque in a lot that's too small for it in a residential area, and they absolutely insisted that they had to be there and nowhere else. And as you pointed out, the township rightly said, "Look, you don't have enough parking space, and this is a historic street. It can't be widened. You can't put a turn lane in, and so you're going to clog up that area." And you know, of course the mosque sued, but as you rightly point out, the turning point really was when the Obama Justice Department came in and sued on behalf of the Justice Department. And you can look at the Justice Department's website and see that during the Obama administration, they sued 12 different times to enforce this religious land use law. Of those times, not a single one was on behalf of Christians or Jews. 11 of those 12 lawsuits were on behalf of mosques by the Obama Justice Department, and one was on behalf of a Buddhist temple. So you can kind of see what's happening there as well. Well, you know, that changed the whole tenor of the case. Ultimately, the Obama-appointed judge, he ended up ruling against the town very early on, before any evidence had actually even come out. He just ruled on the complaint. And so the town started thinking about settling. Well, our clients, our initial clients, among whom was a man named Cody Smith. And Cody Smith had been very vocal in public meetings about his concerns about this mosque being built in the residential area. And for that, he and our other clients, the Quicks, actually were served with subpoenas by the Islamic Society of Basking Ridge. The Islamic Society wanted not just the emails that they had sent to the township officials to voice their legitimate concerns. The mosque already had those. They wanted these private citizens who are not public actors, who did nothing more than stand up in a public meeting and say, we have concerns. And the Islamic Society hit them with threatening and very burdensome subpoenas, wanting all their private emails about anything they had ever said about Islam. Mm. So we, of course, objected to that, and we continue to object to that. The court still has not ruled on the issue of those subpoenas, and the Islamic Society refuses to remove those subpoenas, by the way.
Jay, so, I just want to stop. We're talking with Jay Combs with the Thomas More Law Center. Now, what happened was, in this judgment, and we just got a few minutes here, so I want to make sure we get this full story in. The Bernards Township was hit with a $3.5 million settlement, correct?
Yes, that's right.
But also, there was a meeting just 48 hours ago. Was it of the planning board there in Bernards Township?
Yes, that's right.
For another vote? But part of the judgment had to do with what could be said at that meeting this past Tuesday night, is that correct?
Absolutely. And in this settlement, which they refused to disclose before they voted on it, in contrary to New Jersey law, the township agreed to a provision that said that the citizens of the town can make no commentary regarding Islam or Muslims at this public meeting.
Does this judge understand the First Amendment?
Well, we are doing everything we can to make the courts understand, and clearly the First Amendment prohibits this type of prior restraint on speech, not only is it a restraint on speech, but it's favoring the religion of Islam over all other religions, because they didn't prohibit commentary on Christians or Jews, and the Islamic Society, in their public court filings, have mentioned Christians and Jews and their places of worship on over 30 times. And they weren't prohibited from continuing to do that, but anybody was prohibited from mentioning Islam or Muslims. I want to add a new twist that's kind of developing in this case. In two different motions filed within the last week, the lawyers representing the township have objected to the Thomas More Law Center representing the Quicks and Cody Smith. And what they've said is the Thomas More Law Center, and look, we don't hide who we are or what we do. We are a Christian law firm. We represent Christians who are engaging in the culture war. And the township darkly mentioned that the people of faith that the Thomas More Law Center purports to serve, this is the quote from their brief, are not people of all faiths. And so they take exception to the fact that we represent Christians. and that is shocking. And these are two filings in a federal court by the township objecting to not just what our clients are saying, but who they choose as their lawyers. Even
Jay, I'm in shock over this story, and I've been following it, especially as I mentioned a couple of years now. We've been following this story, but this judgment ordering people what they can or cannot say at a public meeting, cannot criticize a particular religion. I cannot remember another judgment of this nature ever coming from a federal judge.
Neither can I. Nothing short of shocking. It really is. And of course, the last chapter on this case is yet to be written. We are going to continue to vigorously fight on behalf of all of our clients in this case, because this really is shocking, and it continues to get worse where the township is now objecting to a Christian law firm representing Christians.
How do we get to this point, Jay? You've been in the legal field a long time. Thomas More Law Center has been doing terrific work for Christians for years. How do you think we get to this point where a federal judge would feel comfortable saying, I'm not going to allow any criticism of this particular religion?
Well, you know, it goes back to the continuing slide of accommodation many people being unwilling to stand up and be counted. And, you know, we at the Thomas More Law Center, one of the things that I take great pride in is our clients. We have some of the bravest, most, Christian clients who are willing to suffer the slings and arrows, really, of what happens when you stand up to fight in the culture war. And sadly, there are probably not enough people who are willing to do that. But, you know, more and more people are getting engaged in this and standing up and saying, no more. We are not going to stand for this anymore.
Jay, were you surprised earlier on in this case that there were some pretty high-profile people in the evangelical community who sided with the Islamic Society on the mosque controversy?
It was surprising, and it was it was saddening as well. Unfortunately, it's a problem. As we pointed out in the past, many people in the evangelical world have pointed this out, and it's true that when every time there is a Islamic terror attack, the first thing that you can expect to see is people all over the news coming forward and proclaiming Islam to be a religion of peace. And that, unfortunately, stifles the debate. And look, this particular mosque, the Islamic Society of Basking Ridge, hidden on their website, in the non-publicly accessible portion of their website, they had chose a number of verses. Well, actually, a select number of verses. They didn't put the whole Quran on their website. But what they did put on their website were the verses from the Quran that talk about how they're prohibited from taking Christians and Jews as friends, and that they should fight and slay the infidel wherever you find them. Look, it is legitimate for our clients to be concerned. Our clients, the Quicks, are Christians, and they live next door, right next door to where this mosque is going to be built. And this mosque has decided to display those particular verses on their website, and the Quicks are legitimately concerned about that, and they have the right to be concerned about that. And it's sad and it's disheartening to us when the evangelicals or some evangelical and Christian leaders come out without knowing all the facts about what this mosque purports to support, come out in favor of the mosque over the legitimate concerns of the Christians next door.
Jay Combs with the Thomas More Law Center. Please keep us up to date on this continuing battle. I know Tuesday night's meeting, the planning board voted 6-0 to allow this mosque, but I mean pretty much with a gun to their head from this federal judge. But the fight over the freedom to speak out, this is going to continue. And thank you so much, Jay Combs, the Thomas More Law Center, for continuing this fight. You bet. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning, folks. We're going to continue to cover this story. We will have the latest on this story at One News Now very shortly. It's the Thursday morning edition. Sandy Rios in the Morning, Fred Jackson here. We're going to be talking about Truth for Youth Week here at American Family Radio when we come back.
For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. We now know news coverage of the tarmac meeting between then-Attorney General Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton at the height of the Hillary email server scandal threw the DOJ into a panic. Internal emails show Loretta Lynch, using the pseudonym Elizabeth Carlisle, corresponded with DOJ press officials to hammer out talking points to explain away the meeting. 413 pages of DOJ documents were produced around the tarmac meeting. That's a lot of trees for a discussion about grandkids.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hi, this is David Barton of Wall Builders Live, inviting you to join me here on American Family Radio this weekend. We take the ideas of the Founding Fathers and apply those ideas to the major issues of the day. Our guests include those who are in the headlines, as well as experts on issues facing this great nation. Along the way, you'll discover the role that faith has played in our nation's history, as well as in dealing with the issues we face right now. Join us Saturday afternoon at 2 Central here on American Family Radio.
The American Family Association.
Some trust in chariots.
Trust in chariots.
For 40 years now, we've labored alongside you to restore America's moral foundations.
Some trust in horses.
In horses.
Year after year, God has proven himself to be most trustworthy. As we look to the future, we declare with the psalmist David,
we trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Kimberly grew up without a dad and felt the deficit throughout her childhood. Hi, Kim Katola for Cradle My Heart today. When a stepdad appeared, the family upheaval led to a strong rebellion at a very young age. And she became a runaway at 14, surviving the dangers of Greenwich Village and then communal living. She became a teen mom at 17 and had an abortion at 19. Today, Kimberly says, I was desperately crying out for love. Well, finally, at age 30, faith arrived through the prayer and preaching she found on Christian broadcasting, and things began to change as she discovered her true identity in Christ through serving others. At a youth event where she was serving, a pro-life presentation meant for the students broke through and started the healing journey of reconciliation of the abortion experience that Kimberly had had. Find out more about her story and her ministry today at CradleMyHeart.org. Saving lives and healing hearts after abortion, one story at a time. CradleMyHeart.org.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. August is traditionally the time when official Washington tries to take vacations. It is also frequently a period when crises erupt, reminding us that enemies of this country are relentlessly threatening our interests and even our security, and may feel emboldened by the seeming inattention of this country's leadership. Look no further than the escalating war of words and the prospect of an actual conflict between North Korea and the United States. This month, we learned that Pyongyang may have the ability to field as many as 60 nuclear weapons, and that some of them may have been miniaturized, allowing them to be delivered by ballistic missiles or satellites. Thanks in part to successive Democratic and Republican administrations' inaction and missteps, we face an increasingly mortal threat from North Korea. It may be August, but President Trump is right to say no more. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to this Thursday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. You know, one of the things I've been associated with American Family Radio now for many years, and one of the campaigns that I have been just thrilled about and count it a privilege to be able to help promote it each year, is the Truth for Youth Bible Week here at American Family Radio. And the guy who heads it all up, not a stranger to American Family Radio, Tim Todd, and he joins me in the studio right now.
Good to be here, Fred.
Great to have you. We've been talking to you on the phone, I know, a number of shows through the week, but Here we are. How many years now have we been involved with this?
This is the 17th year that we've had the Truth for Youth Bible Week.
Yeah. Very quickly, tell us what it's all about.
Yes. Fred, we give Bibles. It's a Bible that we publish that we give to young people who will commit to give it to their friends in school that are not serving the Lord. And as a result of that, we have seen tremendous results and young people not only becoming soul winners, but many of the young people that get the Bibles are giving their heart to the Lord and getting their heart in right relationship with God, mm-hmm. and we're able to get the Word of God back in school legally.
Yep. Okay, so what we are about this week, now a lot of people think, okay, I'm going to call a number and you're going to ask for money to buy a Bible, but that's not the way it works.
No.
Okay, tell us.
Yes, in fact, the phone lines open up Central Time, 8:30 a.m., and so
about 14 minutes from now.
Yes, in just a few minutes. And but what happens is when you call and request a Bible, one Bible per teenager, per household, so that means if you have four teenagers in your home, grade 6 through 12, anywhere between there, or grandchildren, then say, hey, I commit to have my child or grandchild give a Bible away in school, then no charge whatsoever. They get a copy of the Truth for Youth Bible.
For each child?
Yes, for each child. One Bible per teenager. Now, if they want to get additional copies, they can at a very discounted cost. But for each teenager that's in their home, we make the Bibles free of charge for parents and grandparents of children that are in their home.
All right. So your ministry, you go around talking in churches and at conferences. So you raise money that way for the Bibles.
Yes, that's correct.
So this is simply, you're calling up, you're saying I have what is the age range again?
Grade 6 through 12, anywhere from 13 to 18 years old.
All right, so you've got somebody, you've got a daughter, son or granddaughter in that age range. You call the number, and let's give that number right away, 800-733-4737. Remember, don't call it right now. Wait another 13, 12 minutes or so. 800-733-4737, and just simply somebody will answer, and they will say, okay, you have somebody in that age range, daughter, son, granddaughter, grandson, and ask them to send a Bible.
That's
correct. And if you've got four kids or you got 10 grandchildren, whatever the case may be, they just have to commit. When they get that Bible, that young person in their school is going to give it to someone who they feel needs to hear the Word of God.
That's correct. And you know what's so powerful about this Bible, Fred, that's different than any other youth Bible is the fact that in the front section we've got comic stories. And these stories deal with the truth about things that young people are up against every day. And so it makes it very, very personal for the young people, helps them deal with things like sexual purity, abortion, what the Bible says about homosexuality. We deal with evolution, drugs, drunkenness, peer pressure. We deal with things like cutting, sexting, bullying, suicide, and it's just a tremendous tool for these young people. They'll read those comics before they'll read even the New Testament.
Over the last few days, as I've been listening to American Family Radio, I've heard some fascinating testimonies of the impact of this. And I want to play one of those testimonies right now. Now, this is of a student who was given one of these Bibles and the impact it had on their life.
Growing up, I never really knew my father. It was just me and my mom, and we didn't exactly have a good relationship. My mom stayed addicted to drugs throughout her pregnancy with me, and even as I was growing up, she stayed messed up on drugs and alcohol all the time. And even as I got older, I would even get high with her. I can remember there were so many instances when she'd be so high or so drunk that she couldn't even get herself cleaned up and get herself to bed, so I would have to do it for her. And I just eventually got so strung out and so depressed that I started cutting myself, and I got involved in witchcraft, and it got to the point where people didn't even want to be around me, and I didn't have any friends, and I was just really hard to be around. And so I told myself that I would be better off just taking my life. And I woke up one morning and I told myself that if nobody told me that they loved me that day, then I was just going to kill myself. And that day at school, a girl that I didn't know came rushing over to my locker and she handed me a Truth for Youth Bible and she said, hey, Jesus loves you, you should read this. And as she said that, I remembered what I told myself that morning and I thought, well, I should probably read this. And by the time I finished reading the comics in the front, I thought, wow, she's right. Jesus really does love me. And there was even a comic in there that talked about the dangers of witchcraft in ways that I never even considered. And there was a page in Truth for Youth that showed me how to give my heart to Jesus. I just prayed and Jesus forgave me of my sins. And now I'm praying for my mom that God would show her the love that he has shown me and she would give her heart to the Lord.
I tell you what, if your heart is not stirred by these testimonies, folks, there's more to this story. You just told me just while we were listening to this, there's more to this story.
Yes, this young lady called a few days later, Fred, and the Lord grabbed hold of her mom's heart, and her mom gave her heart to the Lord as well and got saved.
Don't tell me God is not involved with this. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
It's amazing because this all happened as a result of giving the Truth for Youth Bible away to a young person whose parent had called in as a result of American Fan the Radio, called in and got a Bible and brought it to school. That young lady brought that Bible to school and gave it to this young lady. And the Lord just put everything together where that it's a snowball effect where that this young lady, not only did she get saved, but her mama got saved as well. It's powerful. We got thousands of testimonies like this.
Let's talk about those numbers. This has been going on for 17 years.
Yes.
Give us some numbers of the number of young people have been impacted, the number of people that young people have given their lives to the Lord.
Yes. You know, Fred, I started the Bible Project with the Truth for Youth several years before we started doing this with American Fan the Radio. And so we've given away a total of 2.5 million Bibles, and we've received decision coupons from young people, more than 25,000 that have been saved for the first time that we know of. Mm. Now, during this project, we've given away about 870,000 Bibles over the past 16 years. Now we're starting our 17th year, and we've had thousands of young people get saved since we started this project 16 years ago.
One of the questions that often comes up is about the legality of this. Talk to us a little bit about that, because, you know, we hear so much, it's garbage, you know, separation of church and state, and gee, if my daughter or my son gives away a Bible, they're going to get in trouble with the school, you know, is the atheist going to come down on the school, et cetera, et cetera. So for the sake of the parents, the grandparents, maybe even school officials who are listening right now, talk a bit about the legality of all of this.
Yes, it is legal for young people to give Bibles away on campus during non-instructional time. And we put on the back cover of the Bible the students' legal rights on public school campuses to let the young people and parents and school administrators know just that they do legally have the right to give Bibles away. So if they are confronted, they can very respectfully, we don't want any young person to get in the face of a school official. In fact, one of the comics that we've got in here now deals with honor, honoring your parents and honoring your teachers and your authority, but to just show them on the back cover of the Bible that they do legally have the right to give Bibles away on campus. And it's very, very helpful to have that tool on the back cover of this Bible to let the young people know that.
Okay. Last year, 60-some thousand Bibles as a result of this campaign. How are we doing so far?
So far, we're at 29,700, and we want to cross over 65,000 before we finish this out this year.
All right. Once again, wait a couple of minutes. It is 6 minutes to 8 o'clock Central Time. 8 o'clock Central Time is when your phone banks open. And you're from Louisiana. Is that where the phone banks
are? West Monroe. That's correct.
West Monroe. I want to give you that number, folks. If you're not driving a car right now, I want you to write this down. 800-733-4737. 800-733-4737. Phone lines will open at 8 o'clock in about 5.5 minutes from now, and they're open until 4:30 Central this afternoon.
That's correct.
There'll be people there to take your call. So once again, Tim, it's very simple. Not asking people for money.
No.
You call in. You've got a daughter, son, grandson, granddaughter, in the age range or the grades 6 to 12.
Yes, 13 to 18 years old.
13 to 18 years old. You tell them, okay, I've got three sons and daughters in that age range. Send me three Bibles, and they'll get those absolutely free. And
yes.
If there's extras that you want to get, let's say you're a Sunday school teacher or a pastor, you want to get more of these Bibles, beyond that, a very minimal price, you say.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. And if they call and the line is busy or they're not able to get through, please keep calling until you get through.
Amen. Now, you're out and about speaking about this. Just before we went on air, we were talking a little bit. Most people who listen to American Family Radio know I'm from Canada. You're heading to Canada.
Yes, in just a few days. I'll be preaching an evangelistic crusade there in Surrey.
Surrey, BC, which is a suburb of Vancouver, British Columbia, where we used to live.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, I'm delighted that you're going because being somewhat familiar with that area, a very small percentage of the whole Lower Mainland, Vancouver, even go to church.
Yes, I've been there three times to the same area,
uh-huh.
And it's a very liberal area, and they need God there.
Amen. Well, I'm so glad you do that. So we just are excited. We're excited to be able to, I was listening to our president the other day, Tim Wildman, talk about this. This is one of those campaigns that's very special to us for all the reasons that you've just heard this morning, folks. Is that it's making an impact. You heard that testimony, that powerful, powerful testimony. Was her name Mary?
Yes. Yes.
From Mary. And I'm excited she came forward to tell her story.
Yes.
And you say you have thousands of these stories.
Oh, yes. Yes. Wonderful, wonderful testimonies. And there's no telling how many that have given their heart to the Lord that we don't know about, because when Jesus healed the 10, only one came back to thank him.
That's right. So we won't know until we get to heaven the impact of this campaign. Truth for Youth, 800-733-4737, 800-733-4737. Those lines will open in about 3 minutes. So as I say, if you're not driving right now, copy that down. You can go to our website. You can get the number there. And this will continue throughout the day today up until 4:30 this afternoon Central, and then again tomorrow. Now, what about beyond this campaign, does this number continue to work, or how does that work?
Yes, actually, anybody can call any time to get Truth for Youth Bibles. We just really focus on it this week for the national campaign that we do for giving the Bibles away during this week.
Right. Do you talk to these young people directly? Do they contact you, or does it come back through the church that they might join? How do you get this information? How did we get Mary's testimony?
Well, actually, what we do is whenever a young person gives their heart to the Lord, they'll send the decision card. There's a decision card in the Truth for Youth Bible that they can tear out, fill out, and send it to our ministry. And so that's how we got in contact with Mary to begin with.
Yeah, and so many of these testimonies. Tim Todd, thank you so much for what you do every day of the year. And thank you so much for allowing us, American Family Radio, to be part of this absolutely terrific ministry. Truth for Youth work here at American Family Week, here at American Family Radio. That number once again, 800-733-4737. 800-733-4737. Our goal is to get over 65,000
yes,
Bibles.
That's
and
correct.
We're at where right now?
Right now we're at 29,700.
All right, folks. American Family Radio, best listeners in the world.
Yes.
All right, time to do this. 800-733-4737. Tim Todd, thank you so much for joining us. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. Much more great programming here at American Family Radio. Do stay tuned.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.